and rarely grumbling over it. Time went on. Things happened, but Ryecroft was still laborious and poor. In moments of depression, he spoke of his declining energies and evidently suffered under a haunting fear of the future. The thought of dependence had always been intolerable to him. Perhaps the only boast I at any time heard from his lips was that he had never incurred debt. It was a bitter thought that after so long and hard a struggle with unkindly circumstance, he might end his life as one of the defeated. A happier lot was in store for him. At the age of 50, just when his health had begun to fail and his energies to show abatement, Ryecroft had the rare good fortune to find himself suddenly released from toil and to enter upon a period of such tranquillity of mind and condition as he had never dared to hope. On the death of an acquaintance, more his friend than he imagined, the wayworn man of letters learnt with astonishment that there was bequeathed to him a life annuity of £300. Having only himself to support, he had been a widower for several years, and his daughter, an only child, was married. Ryecroft saw in this income something more than a competency. In a few weeks, he quitted the London suburb.